Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry today. Well, the after effects of Sandy are still being felt all along the coastal areas of New York and New Jersey and beyond. Now, President Obama signed a $9.7 billion Sandy aid package last week. Lawmakers have said another $51 billion package is coming up on Tuesday in the House. Whether it passes is unclear, but some residents are ready to call it quits regardless. Residents of New York and New Jersey say they have had difficulty rebuilding, difficulty getting the money. And in some cases, members of Congress are so concerned about fraud that they don't want to send any more of the money. Now, let me play you a cut from a resident, Richard Barrero, a disabled Gulf War veteran and father of five from coastal Sayreville in New Jersey. Listen.
I'm praying there's not going to be another one. I'm praying I'm not going to be here for the next one, because last year we got about 4 feet of water in the basement. This year we're looking at 7.5. What's it going to be next year? I can't do it. One way or another, I want out. I want out of here.
Bob Henley is contributing editor for politics and investigations for The Takeaway, co-producer WNYC. He's been following Sandy's aftermath and the politics behind federal aid. Joins me now in the studio. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
So, Bob, I mentioned fraud, and you've been looking into fraud concerns in the Sandy relief package. The $9.7 billion already approved was just to pay flood insurance claims. Are there particular concerns about fraud here, or is this concern about fraud across the flood insurance program that have been around for years?
There's many different buckets here to bail out what's going on. One of them is the flood insurance program started in the 1960s, $1.5 billion of borrowing capacity. Now we are dealing with some 6 million homes that are in precarious circumstances where they need to have this flood insurance. And now it takes in some $3 billion plus each year in premiums. And by the way, the federal government is the only entity writing this flood insurance. Private insurers don't want to do it.
That's the point of the program.
Exactly.
Right.
And so now this $9.7 billion was to add to the borrowing capacity of the flooding program. To get a sense of the unsustainability of it economically, they can take in $3+ billion in premiums, but in 1 year after Katrina and Rita, they paid out $18 billion, Todd, in claims. So long term, especially with what we see as a growing sea levels and increased flooding, the question of its viability looms large. That's not so much fraud. That's just us not dealing with reality.
Now, looking to this coming week in the House, where they're going to vote on a couple of different tranches that amounts to $51 billion more. Is fraud really a concern for lawmakers? I've heard concerns about pork. I've heard concerns about unpaid for spending. Is fraud something that's really going to hold this up?
Well, what's concerns, I think the fact that we have the kind of fiscal moment that we have is what's going on between fiscal cliff and debt ceiling. You have a lot of anxiety about spending in general. And so people look back, for instance, at what happened with Katrina and Rita, and the GAO, which is an independent body, nonpartisan, took a look at, I think they looked at $6 billion payments that were made for Katrina and Rita. And based on their analysis, they found out that FEMA made about $1 billion in assistance payments based on improper or potentially fraudulent registration. So the concern is the scale of this money being spent. Also, there's something called community development block grants, which has a lot of flexibility. It's very popular. It sends money down to the local level. It has flexibility, but that same flexibility can end up in cases where people have been indicted and convicted, and sometimes the money turns out to be used for the private sector and even campaign contributions.
Yeah. Now, I'm from Washington and you're not, and in Washington, people go over these things. People on the ground want speed. They want to rebuild, and they also just want to know that the money's coming, even if they – whether they need it that day or not. Let me play for you somebody that you talked to, Matthew Daugherty, mayor of Belmar, New Jersey, talking about waiting for federal funds in his town.
The longer they delay the action on the legislation, the longer we're going to have to borrow the money to pay for what needs to get done. And I cannot tell you how detrimental – it would be to our community and the communities around us if we didn't have a boardwalk in time for this summer.
Now, FEMA has said we need this money eventually. We still have money in the accounts now, so nobody's being left in the lurch at the moment. Is that really true?
Well, what happens here is you're talking about, in the case of Belmar, they have a 1.3-mile boardwalk, which was decimated by Sandy. All the businesses and the real estate values are plugged into getting that amenity up and running. It includes things like also bathrooms and parking lots. And so the degree to which that money is not in place, what has to happen is local governments and even businesses go to short-term credit markets, very expensive way to go, saying, listen, it's like a payday loan for a government. Eventually, we'll get this money. So the
more expensive.
Exactly. The more this is kicked around, the debt service goes up.
And which costs more for everybody
right.
to get the convenience
right.
of the loan.
At the same time, local governments, is dozens of them in New Jersey and New York, where they really have a body blow. Remember also, local governments derive their revenue from what? Property taxes. What took a hit? Property. So they have people filing property tax appeals, people who don't want to pay taxes for homes that no longer exist, increased demand on local services, and uncertainty from the national government about what kind of packages are going to be available.
There have been some recriminations in Washington over the last week of a regional nature. Lawmakers from Mississippi and Louisiana sort of at odds with northeastern lawmakers. Katrina got treated a certain way. We're not getting treated a certain way. There's a lot of anger about that that's brewing. Are people along the New Jersey coast and in New York, are they feeling any of that, I'll call it animosity, that maybe as terrible as it was, another storm was treated differently? Do they feel that way?
Well, what they feel is uncertainty. And if you're going to put private capital at risk to decide if you're going to rebuild your business, consider 19,000 businesses in New Jersey alone sustained $250,000 worth of damage. You want to know that your government's got your back. The degree to which Washington looks dysfunctional makes you not confident in the future. That's bad for business.
$51 billion in Sandy aid hits the House floor on Tuesday in a couple of slices. We'll be covering that. Bob Henley, contributing editor for politics and investigations for The Takeaways, co-producer WNYC. Bob, thank you.
Thanks.
Well, coming up, we talked earlier about the spread of flu across the country with a CDC official. Next, we head to Boston, Massachusetts, which has been hit particularly hard.
We don't know that we've peaked yet. We probably haven't.
That's Brian Barnewalt, chair of emergency medicine at Tufts Medical Center, on the city's health emergency. That's coming up next. And we always want to hear how you're weathering the flu season. Wes on Facebook writes, I wash my hands a lot more and most almost obsessively clean doorknobs with disinfectant. That's the way. 8778MYTAKE to weigh in on our conversation.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.